From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you've been to Sacramento International Airport lately, you've probably noticed the terminals have a fresh look with new local spots paying homage to the capital city. Well, the changes are far from over. SMF's future continues to take flight and you can weigh in. There is a public survey asking travelers what you would like to see over the next 20 years. To give us an update on the changes coming down the jetway and get a look at other smaller airports in our area, we're joined by Cindy Nickel, the director of the Sacramento County Department of Airports. Welcome back.
Thank you, Vicky. It's so great to see you.
So I just flew out of Sacramento International Airport not too long ago. I'm one of the many people who are enjoying the summer and planning their vacation, and there have been a good amount of changes. Summer is peak time for travel, of course. What do travel numbers look like? How do they compare to years past?
So we're doing well. We're roughly flat, honestly. This is a period where we're seeing the airlines reduce some of their flights and some of the numbers of seats that are available. But I just got the numbers this morning for the full 12 months it ended in June, and we're down 0.1%. So I call that flat. But, you know, we've had 4 years of considerable growth since COVID. We're outperforming, and I don't celebrate this, but we're outperforming the airports in the Bay Area. And, you know, we're just excited about continuing to get more air service and find new ways to connect our region to the world.
So flat, when you take it in totality, looking at other airports, isn't necessarily a bad thing?
It's not. No, we're doing better than most airports, actually. Even Reno is down. So we're at about 13.8 million passengers right now. So pretty good.
So the big changes between this year compared to last year, I mean, does it hinge on the war in Iran and jet fuel prices as to why travel and flights have been a struggle this last 12 months?
I think it's a couple things. I think what is affecting demand is, first of all, you know, the just the price of daily activity, you know, your gas, your groceries, all that is higher now. So people have less in their wallets, as well as the fact that the airlines have been increasing the fares. So, you know, it's harder to afford in a couple of ways. So I think that's what's affecting people. But, you know, we're honestly still pretty darn strong in terms of our demand.
What has led airlines to suspend or cancel flights, and how much of that is happening in Sacramento?
You know, I think they're always looking for ways to maximize their earnings and their what they call yield. And so what we're seeing is, for example, we saw American reduce some of their flights out of here to increase flights to Europe from other airports. So, you know, they're always just looking to maximize kind of how they're doing financially.
When you have these conversations with airlines, I mean, what kind of sway does an airport have over what they can charge and what routes are available?
That's a great question. We do a couple things. One is we have access to USDOT FAA data that the airlines don't have. And so we know just overall how many people are trying to get from Sacramento to, I don't know, London or, you know, Frankfurt or something. And so what we do is we share that information with the airlines, work with them. It takes several years for them to understand that we have a significant demand, and also that, you know, they could fill their planes every day if they served us directly. So we can use that as a way to encourage them. We can also give them discounts on our landing fees and our terminal rents. But other than that, there's not that much we can do. I will mention one of the things we have been doing is working with our business community through GSEC, trying to get some support from our local businesses. They can actually financially support new service.
And how?
That money. You know, so various places I've been, and this is no exception, we can get our community to help support for the first couple years and prove out that there's that level of demand for service, then the airlines will keep serving it.
So I was looking at some nonstop routes that were kind of new, like Air Canada. They suspended a nonstop route from Sacramento to Toronto in May. And that was right after the airline said that it was dealing with jet fuel prices.
Yeah.
KTLA, that's an outlet down in Los Angeles. American Airlines suspended Charlotte to SMF in June. So do these, I guess, cancellations or suspensions purely stem from jet fuel, or are there other factors at play?
Yeah, you know, they're looking at everything. I will say that our area generally does quite well. We have a lot of service because this region is growing. We're getting more people living here, job growth, all of that drives demand. So first of all, they are aware of that and they see that there's that demand. I think obviously, they're taking into account what their overall costs are. One of the challenges we've seen the airlines have is just not having enough aircraft. So Boeing and Airbus both need to be stepping up their production in order for example, that's what we're hearing from Lufthansa about trying to get service to Europe. They need more aircraft.
Yeah, we've had conversations with the airport, with your colleagues at SMF about, you know, expanding to across the Atlantic to overseas. Where does that stand now? It seems like things are pretty challenging at the moment.
We're still working on it. The tariffs and the jet fuel availability and cost are considerations. I just met a couple weeks ago in Prague with airports from around the world, including Europe, and that is a consideration. But mostly what we're hearing from airlines is they just need the what they call metal. They need the aircraft to fly.
Hmm. Where are the popular routes from Sacramento? Is it mostly within California or sticking to the west or the southwest, or are there some surprises in there?
There are some surprises. We're actually right now the largest unserved nonstop to Washington, D.C., to National Airport. That's maybe not surprising to people. It is the capital to the capital, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we know that we have a lot of demand for nonstop to Europe as well as to Asia. So Asia is a little harder just because we're starting to be able to show the demand that we've got. But if we got really service to anywhere in Europe, it's so easy to get from there to anywhere else in Europe that would be good.
If you had it your way, when do you think something like this could take flight? Would it take a few years?
Yeah, I think it's probably 2 or 3 years away. So kind of that time frame.
All right. When I was at the airport, also noticed a lot of construction. Of course, there is the parking garage expansion. When will that be done?
Yes. So the garage is going to be done before Thanksgiving of this year. I'm so excited about that. It's more than doubling our garage space. It's a little bit bigger than the existing garage. It's being built by a local woman-owned business, Ellison Auto's company, Auto Construction. They are ahead of schedule, and they're going to save us a lot of money. So, plus, when we started this project, I said to my staff, I don't want an ugly garage. I want a beautiful garage. And it's going to be beautiful.
How will it be beautiful? Is there going to be art pieces?
Yes.
Really?
The outside is going to be perforated metal that from a distance looks like orchards with the big pictures of the fruit. And then it's actually, when you look more closely, it's going to be place names and names of every single person involved in these projects.
Mm. How has parking been? I mean, has it been challenging for travelers and passengers, given that, you know, with this construction, there has been, you know, some kind of cordoning off of parking spaces? I mean, how are people managing that?
That's also a great question. You know, I want to thank our community, our traveling community, because it has been challenging and people have been pretty patient with us. The garage fills up, not the entire day, but pretty much by 11 or so, it frees up every day. There are some days when it doesn't free up, but we try to communicate well out to people what's available. In fact, we're putting in new technology. You may have heard about it, red lights and green lights. So we have new signage on the roadway that says whether the garage or what lots are open. We also, once you get into the garage, you can see how many spaces are available by level, and you can, as you drive in, you can see how many by row, and then there are red and green lights above showing you where the spaces are available. So I think that's going to help relieve both anxiety as well as people just driving around a lot trying to find a spot.
Is that already playing out now?
Yes.
Okay.
We have that in place in the existing garage, and we're putting it in the new garage.
We also learned about a new camera system, AutoMotus, at Terminal A, and that's, I think, to help manage curbside drop-off. So how does this new camera system work?
Yes. What it does is it's basically, using cameras. So our folks who used to have to just wait at the curb and, you know, see if people showed up and see if they needed help, now they can see on cameras if there are people who are sort of parked there for quite a while. Pretty much we don't like people to sit there for more than 4 minutes because it gets crowded. And if you've been to Terminal A, we get backups on the roadway. So the camera basically allows them to see when someone's parked there for quite a while. They can then go person to person, talk to them, offer to them that they can circulate again or go to our free waiting area, and then pick up their person.
Well, moving on to some good news when it comes to what you can eat and what you can drink. I mean, there's a whole slew of new restaurants in both terminals, and they all have a local flair. I mean, there are a couple chains, but mostly it's local restaurants at both Terminal A and Terminal B. How many have opened so far?
Yes. You know, I am also very excited about this. We had 18 places that were turning over, and we've got all but three open now. And so the two of them that are remaining are Vietnamese restaurants in both A and Terminal A and Terminal B. And then we're also going to get Midtown Spirits in Terminal B. So as you said, there are a ton of local restaurants. So just to name a few, we've got Nick's Taco, as you may know. One Speed Pizza just opened. We've got West Coast Sourdough. It's a long list of local restaurateurs who everyone knows about. Mm.
And what other major projects are coming down the pipeline?
So we are just now starting work on adding up to six gates. We're still refining that at Terminal B. So that'll make us able to bring in more flights. All the airlines are scrambling for those gates. They're fighting over them, and they're doing so well here. We're also starting a project to reroute the exit from Terminal A, just to make traffic flow a bit more easily. After the garage opens, probably end of this year, early next year, the pedestrian walkway will open. And I'm telling you, that is going to be wedding worthy. It's going to be so beautiful with incredible art. It's going to be a delightful way for people to come in to Sacramento and to leave Sacramento. We're also, the last big project we have, which is the most, in terms of dollars, probably over $480 million, will be a new rental car center. So our residents don't really see that as much because most residents are parking or using other forms of transportation. But our visitors do rent cars. And right now, that rental car was the first in the country. So it's very 1960s, 1970s, and you have to take a shuttle bus. So now the consolidated rental car facility will be right south of the garage, the existing garage. Walkable, it's going to be wonderful.
And when will that be available?
We expect that one would open in 2030.
Okay, so still like a few years away. I didn't realize that it was the first one in the country.
Yeah. It used to be that the rental cars would just rent a bunch of space, disparate locations off airport. And then, so we were the first place where it was consolidated.
Mm.
Yeah.
When I was at the airport also, I mean, you do sometimes have emotional support animals there, and you can pet dogs. But then there's also, like, it seems new, like improving accessibility for travelers that may have disabilities.
Yes.
Tell us about this. It's called the Sunflower Hidden Disability Program.
Yes, I love this program because it's a nice way of people who have various, as you said, hidden disabilities, to know that they're welcome, that anyone, I have a sunflower lanyard, and, you know, anyone who has one, they know that they can ask for extra help. They may need a little bit extra time, you know, maneuvering through the terminal, getting through the checkpoint, which can be very anxiety producing, finding the gate, getting on the plane, all of that stuff. And so anyone with a sunshine lanyard can help. We do have hundreds of volunteers through our ambassador program who are also helping with that.
So they're all volunteers, these ambassadors.
Yes. Yes. I believe it's 340 people who volunteer with us. And in addition, we've got the bark dogs, the comfort right. dogs you were talking about. Yeah. So we have a great community of people who provide support to all of our guests who are traveling in and out of the airport.
So if someone's looking for this, they should just look for someone with a lanyard with a sunflower?
Yes, indeed. It's a bunch of little sunflowers on it. And I'm just looking to see if I have one in my bag right now. But yeah, it really helps. Sorry. No one can see this, so it's probably not going to be useful.
I can see it, yeah.
Yeah, here you go.
Oh, there you go. Right. Yeah, there are a lot. Yeah, around the lanyard. And yeah, and a nice little placard. Okay, just, great.
Yep.
So that's something good for people to know if they see those flowers.
Yeah.
Finally, when it comes to the Sacramento International Airport, I mean, you do have a survey out. It takes 2 to 3 minutes. You want the public to weigh in on the next 20 years at SMF for the airport's master plan update. You know, what kind of feedback would you like from the community for this survey?
You know, what's really helpful to us is to hear what their vision is. You know, a lot of our passengers, of course, are going in and out of other airports. What are they seeing there that they would like us to have? What kinds of additional capabilities would they like? We would really like to make improvements to our international facilities when people are coming through the inspection services, coming into the country through Customs and Border Patrol. What kinds of things, you know, just generally, what kinds of things should we be adding to the airport? Couple things I'll mention. It's in the context of getting a new tower at the airport. We're going to get a new air traffic control tower. FAA is building it on the north side of the airport, and that will get the old tower out of the way for us to add new facilities. What do people envision us putting there, for example? Another thing we're working on is a child care center for people who work at the airport, not visitors, but you can't drop off your kid and then fly off.
Go take off on vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think that having a child care center would certainly help women and people in underserved communities who have trouble paying for child care come and work at the airport and know that their child is right there.
Mm. And when could something like that come to fruition?
We're working on that. We're getting a $1.5 million grant from Angelique Ashby, and super excited to be getting going. We're doing some surveys right now of our community, airport community, to learn really who would use it.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cindy Nickel from the Sacramento County Department of Airports about big changes this year and updates in the near future. We'd only have a few minutes left, but, you know, I want to acknowledge that the Department of Airports covers more than just SMF. There's also Sacramento Executive Airport in Land Park, which is home to the Aviators Restaurant. Mm. Now, for those that don't know about Aviators, it's been open for nearly 3 decades. It overlooks the airport, so you can see aircraft take off, but it has been closed since early this year due to significant structural issues. So what's going on, if you can just update the status of this restaurant?
That's exactly right. You know, the airport was built in the early 50s, and, you know, construction was a little different in those days. When Aviators was closed, as they normally do during the December or January timeframe, this year it was in January, we did some inspections, and we looked under the linoleum and saw that there was some degradation to the rebar, etc., some rusting. So we needed to close the restaurant, and right now we're shoring up the floor. We're completing inspections to really learn the extent of the damage, and then we're going to have a contractor come in and fix it. So honestly, we think that process could take a couple years.
A couple years.
Yeah.
It seemed like something that was beloved for aviation enthusiasts, being able to, like, you know, eat and also take in, like, the sights of the airport. I mean, what kind of response have you received? Since it's going to be closed for a while.
Yes, it certainly is beloved. And, you know, I've been there myself. And it's I think people understand that we've got to make sure that the structural integrity is assured. And we're talking to Chick about what the future looks like, the operator there.
When it comes to the structural problems, is it just reserved or isolated to the restaurant or within the larger airport building? Because Supervisor Patrick Kennedy, I mean, he reportedly has said that deterioration of the rebar, it might affect the terminal and the tower, too.
we're looking at that. Right now, all indications are that it's only the area under the kitchen. So that's what it looks like. But again, we have structural engineers doing the inspections, and we have the contractor working with them on how we will be able to fix it.
Finally, I mean, the department also oversees Mather Airfield, Franklin Field. How are those two doing? I mean, I think there is some expansion planned or some updates planned for Mather, correct?
Yes, indeed. So we're very excited. We've just completed a strategic real estate development plan for Mather, which we did, as you know, inherit from the Air Force. So there's a lot of property there that we can develop, and we really are at the point now where we can start attracting interested parties who might want to bring in cargo or might want to have some interesting developments, you know, that serve the community better than we're able to right now.
And how is Franklin Field used?
Franklin Field is a very small airport, has no tower, and it's mostly used for crop dusting and for practicing landing and taking off, which is an important function. So we have some of our students from the other airports come, especially from Executive Airport and also Mather, come and practice landing and taking off at that airport.
Cindy, thank you so much for
stopping by.
A lot happening.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, come by. Say hi sometime.
Yeah, and more to come. Cindy Nichol is the director of the Sacramento County Department of Airports. We've been getting an update on new additions at SMF and an update on Aviator's Restaurant at the Sacramento Executive Airport. There is a public survey asking travelers what you would like to see over the next 20 years at Sacramento International Airport. We have a link to that survey on our Insight page. Up next, we'll learn about a new analysis from EdSource looking into ICE detentions of children across California and how immigration strategy compares between the Trump and Biden administrations. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.